Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Undivided with Luke and Dina. Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
How's it going?
It is wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a roller coaster of a day.
Ew. Dang. Like all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Is that bad? All of a sudden, what did we do today?
So before we get too far into this, we have special guests.
We do have special guests.
You like to introduce the special guests?
I'm going to cry. Aww.
You can, okay. So our special guests, we have Bob and Dawn Cates.
Two of my absolute favorite people in the whole entire world.
Dina's brother and sister-in-law. Say hi, y'all.
Hello.
Hello. Glad to be here.
That's my clap machine. We are stoked that they're here.
We are.
Not the reason why they're here.
Exactly.
And so that's today we on an untimely, I don't know, how do you even explain it? I'm looking at my brother. Unfortunately, our stepmom passed away. And we buried her today. And that's why you guys are here for the weekend. So you get to hang out with us. Y'all are the happy part of my day. It's a good part of my day. Yeah. And Dawn's here under duress. I'm just kidding.
Under the weather. She's here under the weather.
She is under the weather, not feeling good. But I am super stoked that you get to be here.
Thanks for having me.
And we were... pull it towards you a little bit more. There we go. No, you're good. Yeah, you're going to look like you're eating it. It's going to be all right.
I feel like it's...
Yeah.
Cross my eyes.
So my big brother, he's my big brother. I am the baby of the family. He is my big brother. And my sister-in-law has been in my life since I was 13.
I didn't realize that until you said that the other day. I was like, I guess I have been in your life a long time.
Yeah. You've literally watched me grow up. Mm-hmm. Grow up through some hard and really dumb things. My sister-in-law knows stuff she will not tell you. It's just that simple.
We have worked through things. We've cried together.
We have cried together.
We've always been very honest with each other.
Honest to a fault, not even a fault, but just like,
oh, I'd say it's a good way to say it. Yeah.
anyway, you guys have been married for how many years now? You just celebrated
36 years.
36
years. Congratulations.
And my brother's over there just sitting very quietly, which is not him. Can you hear me, bro?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
36 years.
That's cool.
It is.
Do you guys want to tell us a little bit of background history? Tell us how you guys met, all the things. Tell us who you are in your phones. That was cute.
Well, I'm in my phone. He's my love.
Aww.
And in his phone, I'm my sweetheart.
I love that.
She's been my sweetheart for 36 years.
That's sweet.
So we met in the military. He was a backslidden Christian. I wasn't a Christian at all.
Yeah.
I can't even say backslidden because I was never there.
Right.
And, but I was looking for something.
Yeah.
You know, which we won't go that far back. Anyway, and so
we were two broken people.
Very broken. We were a hot mess.
yeah
and then he worked in the motor pool and I worked in service and repair in Germany, Bamberg, Germany. And and I started dating his friend.
Oh
yeah.
Wait and a minute, did I know this?
We actually met at a club. Did you not know that?
No, I'm sitting in that. I'm learning stuff today.
We met at a club, and it was a guy named Dave. I was sitting in like this, in this room with the cooks, and we were all just sitting there having a beer, and so they had a plan, Dave walked in and was sitting across the way here, and I was sitting like at a beanbag, and Bob walked in from behind and said, "Hey, we're getting ready to go." And that was the plan. I did not know there was a plan. But I never turned around. But he said, so he tells me to this day, he said, Dave said he was going to get me. And he did.
Oh,
but okay. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And we dated for about a month. And he said, God put in his heart that he was supposed to take care of me, even though he had never even seen me or met me.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
And so, and I was like, that's weird. I always think, to this day, I still think that's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But he, oh, go ahead, baby.
During that period of my life, I was like, I was really heartbroken, didn't know what life was about. And I remember me crawling out to God and saying, God, if all life is a bunch of heartache, I'll go to the arms room, get a 45, put it to my head and fulfill my destiny and save
this
a whole lot of heartache.
Was...
This is when I was in the Army.
Yeah.
And so I started praying for a friend. I said, Lord, you send me a Christian friend, because I was going out to the bars every Friday doing all the things that I wasn't supposed to be doing. And I knew the Lord growing up, raised in church, and yeah. I couldn't have fun, you know? So I was struggling at that time. So go ahead.
Oh, and then, we actually went, so Dave, I left the room, and then Dave came up to me and says, hey, you want to go to this club? Well, then I got to the club. That's actually when I met Bob. I couldn't remember his name to tell you. He was wearing a red, white, and blue ugly shirt. Crew cut. I was not attracted to him. But the first time I did notice him was, but he would always come to the room. Like me and Dave would be like in the back room. And because he was big into jazz, so he was always playing, showing me these records of jazz. And he would always come down to the room and visit. And he tells me, he goes, it's to make sure y'all weren't doing anything.
This is live and personal,
safe.
Right?
No, that's good.
But during that night when I was asking the Lord about that, I said I was going to go back to the arms room and get a 45. I actually had a literal vision. I hear people say that all the time, but I had a literal vision of a harvest field that was on the wall, and this harvest field caught on fire.
Yeah.
And I sat up, and I started pounding on my bunk bed, and I said, God, protect the wheat, protect the wheat. And I went and got a Bible that Mom sent me before I went to the Army, and it sat in my wall locker for 3.5 years. I never picked it up. And I went and got it, and I opened it up, and then the first thing I saw was, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Mm. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that has sent forth laborers.
Yeah.
And so I started praying, and I had some other visions where I saw myself on a fire escape preaching to multitudes in the city. This is things that God was showing me about my future. But during this time, I still had this personal struggle with sin and alcoholism and all this stuff. And God spoke to me, and he said, what if I sent you one? I said, well, Lord, would there be an equal reward to win the multitudes or to win one? And that's when he sent me Don. And so I knew that I was supposed to take care of her. He really put that on my heart. So we started going to church and started doing Bible studies in our own home.
But we, the non-spiritual side.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so he lived with conviction, and I did not.
Right.
And
you can be as
I didn't have conviction. Well, I wasn't raised with I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So when he would start calling me names when we would cross the line.
Yeah.
And I was like the worst person on the earth. And I was like, psh, I don't need you. You know, you stink anyway. And so, because literally he did.
Well, I worked in the motor pool.
He worked in the motor pool, and I his clothes would literally be full shoved. I'm like, how do you anything gonna move in here? His clothes and his uniforms stuffed. Like, how's water supposed to get in here?
That's funny.
But anyway, no. But then
I don't think Mom ever taught you how to do laundry, did she? I'm not sure she taught any of it. Wait a minute. It's fine. We're not going to throw Mom under the bus. It's all right.
Anyway, but then I thought, because he tried to break up with me several times. He broke up with me on my 20th birthday. He sent me.
Good job, Bob.
Yeah, I was struggling. I was just struggling, you know.
But then he wouldn't leave me alone.
Yeah.
And then I would tell my roommate, I don't understand this guy.
Right.
And he would like, but what it was like, well, I can have fun by myself. I've never had a problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to go watch a movie. I'm going to go to, because all we had was Burger King. I was going to go Burger King. I have my car. And I was like, you're deuces, you know, no problem. But then he was like, maybe I don't want to break up.
Make up your mind.
Yeah,
dude.
But he had already asked me to marry him before that too. He asked me to marry Foot. We were a reforger, but that was when I knew I loved him. Aww. He got very, very sick. He got like 106 fever.
Wow.
Wow.
And he was laying in the back of this deuce in half, and he's just sitting back there, and he's just shaking. And I'm trying to tell the captain, make him go, make him go. And the captain's like, he's a grown man. He can go. And he wouldn't move because he was just not feeling good.
Yeah.
And he finally decided to go. And they got him. They had to, like, put three IVs in him. They got got his temperature down, then back up. Well, wow. I could never talk to him because it was like trying to go to a phone with enough Deutschmarks to talk, you know, anyhow. And he came out to the field about a week and a half later because we were out there for about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I think that's 3 weeks, something like that. And, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, he came out. He's like, my maiden name is Push. And he's like, Push, Push. And I could hear him. That moment, I knew I loved him. Mm-hmm. Hmm. I was, like, so happy to hear that he was okay. That was the moment I knew I loved. And that was in September. And then he broke up with me in November. And then we got married in February. And so, but anyhow, so that's our beginning story.
Yeah.
Hot mess.
I like it.
Yeah. It's like part of me is like, I don't know if I want to say, you know, well, what's the secret or what are some nuggets and jewels that y'all have learned? And then I also want to say, I think it's hilarious how y'all ended up getting married in the first place or,
true.
You know, just getting married. Cause yeah. I recently heard that within the past, I think within the last 6-9 months.
That we came up,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
I heard the whirlwind story of how y'all got married.
Oh, like you were not supposed to
because of his mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only reason we got married. Because she knew that if he didn't do it, and it was like that. But now I have learned, though, he was raised not able to make a decision on his own. They were not allowed to make their own decisions for anything. So for him to make a decision, because I had paperwork, because in the military, you kind of have to get approved to get married.
Right.
And the only reason I had even gone back to this, we were getting ready to go back to the States, because my sister was supposed to get married. And then when she decided not to get married, we already had tickets to go back to the States, already got our leave, you know, approved. So that's when his mom said, hey, while you're here, why don't you get married?
We were two young, broken kids.
We really were.
Yeah.
I'd say the key thing, I think, just keep working through it. Keep talking. Keep dating. Because there was a period of time. There was 1 year. He says he doesn't remember it, but I remember it like yesterday. I didn't even like seeing him. I didn't even want to be in the same room with him. We just weren't getting along.
Yeah.
And we would go, but we still had date nights once a week with a friend. We would trade off, and we would watch their kids. They would watch our kids, and that was important. And I remember thinking I was going to cancel it because we just weren't getting along.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't want to be in the same room with him. And then I remember we were getting ready to go on vacation. I thought, we're going to have to sit in this car with him. And we took a trip to, like, Grand Canyon, and we just all I-40 over to California. And we just weren't getting along. Anyway, but we kept on the dates. We weren't talking on the dates, but we were still sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, we would go to the lake. We wouldn't talk at the lake. We wouldn't do anything, but we were still trying.
Yeah.
You were laying a foundation.
Yeah.
Being consistent in a foundation. And it's like, even if you're not, I immediately think of like, you're trying to create a harvest eventually, but you got to sow some seed in there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even if you don't want to be out there and doing the thing, you're still consistently putting something, you're depositing. I think you guys are really good about that. You say that to me a lot. Like, you can't withdraw something out if you haven't deposited something in. And if you guys are depositing even that time, even if you're having a hard time communicating, you're depositing something, and it is going to come back in a good measure as opposed to.
Yeah, I think as we were young, we thought we knew what love was, but we really didn't know what love was.
Right.
You know, and it took us a while to get there. But you're right. We were consistent in that. Keep dating. And we would talk. Even though we weren't getting along, we were still talking. So that was something that we just had to work through.
Yeah. My mom used to tell me that. She said, even if you're screaming, you're still talking.
Yeah.
And I used to think that sometimes we
we've actually used your mom's quote.
We've used it.
That's a good one.
Yeah. We're like, because people are like, well, I just can't do this. And
or I just want to yell at them.
Then
okay,
yell.
Okay, then yell.
Keep talking.
Yeah. 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 Don't belittle them. Don't berate them. But at least as long as you're having a conversation, right. That's all that matters. So you said that you didn't, Bobby, you said that you guys didn't know what love looked like, right?
Yeah.
So tell me how you would describe that to somebody now. Like, what does that mean?
Well, I can fast forward into 15 years of marriage.
Okay.
Don went on a trip to Mexico for missions. And I knew something was going on in her heart. I just, you know, just like I didn't have all of her heart.
Yeah.
And so I started reading through the book of, The Shack. And there was a part in that book where God took this man to a garden and he started plucking things out of his heart. And so Lord was showing me that she went to Mexico, and on her trip to Mexico, that he was going to start pulling things from her heart, mm-hmm. start plucking things from her heart that... And so I asked her one time, I said, hey, Don, do I have all your heart? Is something going on within your heart? And I'll let you go from there. She's over there in a little bit of tears right
Got
now.
Got tissue right there next to
you. Can you?
I'm all right. He didn't have all my heart. You know, there was a time he just didn't have all my heart, but we got through it. You know, I had gone a... strayed. I didn't have an affair, but I had an affair of the heart.
Yeah.
And I was telling you all that last night. But I had an affair of the heart. But he said, when he said that, when he told me, he says, I want to know everything, even if it hurts.
I love that.
Yeah.
When he said that to me, I'm like, oh, wow, he loves me. Who loves someone that much?
I love that.
That they're willing to go through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to love me even if I tell you something horrible here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I never, you know, I really never, you know. And so.
It could have turned into something had it not been dealt with.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but I'm glad but we worked through it.
Yeah, we worked through that. But also during that time, love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't keep but a record of wrongs,
you
know. And I thought, well, to have purity, just pure love in my heart, doesn't matter what she did. I chose at that time I was going to walk with her through it, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
Even no matter how much it hurt, because that's what God did for me. Mm-hmm. And it was real easy for me to say, but to have that in my heart, saying, hey, no matter what it is, I'm going to choose to stick this out and walk with her through this.
Right.
So that was.
It wasn't an overnight thing. We cried a lot. 2 o'clock in the morning. A lot of working through it.
Yeah.
Like say that part again.
What's that?
Like say that part again, because I think too many times, like our listeners are just people, have it in their brain. We absolutely can pray and we believe that God can absolutely restore and renew, right? But we know that it takes time. Mm-hmm. A lot of days. It's breaking. The mental gymnastics or whatever, right? Just those preconceived ideas or the expectations of what we think something needs to be looking like. And the whole time it's like, God's just like, I just need you to get me right in the middle of this. I need to be in the middle of this. I need you to be honest and open and know that you are on the same team and I will get you to the other side, but it's going to take time.
Yeah. Well, when I went on this trip, I just felt like I was supposed to go on this missions trip. It was a women's thing.
Yeah.
And I was so dry in my heart. Mm. Like, and I remember being down there. We're supposed to be ministering to women and praying with them, and I just didn't have it in me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to pray for you if I don't feel that. And I just was like, and I remember the pastor's wife came up to me, and she goes, I'm supposed to pray with you about something, but not now. And I didn't say anything.
Oh.
And then they asked, like, all these, we were having this conference, and they all start moving forward. And I kind of stepped back, hoping I would just like, you know, disappear in the
wall. Nobody's going to see me.
You know, become a flower. But anyway, so I was like thinking that. And next thing I know, I don't even know where she came from. The pastor's wife comes over there, starts praying over me and puts her hand on my heart. Everything in me broke. And and the whole time Bob's saying he's texting me because I was in the middle of nowhere how we got that. And it was back in the day with the flip phones, it was way before iPhones.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, and he's saying, God's taking you through the garden. He's gonna, you know, he's telling me all this. And I'm just not feeling the spiritualness, you know.
Yeah.
But when that lady put her hand on my heart, I broke, yeah. And she prayed over me, and I just broke. And if you, I even have pictures of you. You seen those pictures?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, you can tell I'm just drained because I was just so, I cried so much that day, and I think that was the day that my love started growing towards for us. It became us again.
Yeah,
my heart was starting to become his again.
Yeah,
you know, and so, but it took that, and so, and then even one lady goes, I never seen that before. And she was an older lady, too.
I love that.
So it was crazy. I look back at that.
I think that's a vital thing in marriage, too, is it's really important that we not keep things in the dark.
So
you know,
good.
Because
yeah.
I think the word stronghold is not, it's not only like you have a stronghold on something, it's a fortified dwelling place. It's like a foxhole. It's camouflage. People can't see it.
Right.
It's fortified. And that's kind of when you don't share things with your spouse, it's really, it's fortified. It's in the foxhole. It can't be seen. And the enemy's at work. So when you go to them and you say, hey, is there something going on in your life? And she just had enough to say, yeah, there is. There was no longer a stronghold there. It was no longer fortified.
Right.
Yeah. He had to press and press and press.
Yeah.
And I remember laying on the bed, getting almost into a fetal position because he would not leave me alone.
Yeah.
Not in an abusive way.
Yeah.
He was like, there's something going on, and I don't know what it is. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally I broke.
Yeah.
And I told him. And so.
Yeah, and then it was brought to the light. Right.
And then I could start healing.
Right. The Holy Spirit got to deal with it from there.
Yeah.
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 And I also think, you know, you think about your kids. You say, I'll run into a burning building for my kids. You know,
yeah.
I'm willing to be consumed by the fire for my kids. But a lot of times, even in our own marriage, we got to say, am I willing to be burned? Am I even willing to be wronged? Can I keep going forward with my marriage, even if I'm wronged? Wow. And the Lord was showing me, that's what I'm calling you to. Even if she burns you, I want you to love her that much.
Yeah.
I want you to be willing to put yourself on the cross like my son did for you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's when our marriage started going forward.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because I think at that point when you have that kind of mentality, your spouse knows it. They feel it. Like, oh, you're in this, thick or thin. It doesn't matter. And then it almost shifts something, doesn't it? Because it's like, I think of Hosea with Gomer, right? Mm-hmm. He kept going back and going and grabbing her back and pulling her back because God said, no, you go take care of her. No, you go take care of her. You make her righteous. You make her better. You make, right? And it's like when you have somebody that loves you in spite of, who loves you, you know, through the, right? Just all the things. And it's all of a sudden something like there's a drive. There's something inside you. You have all my heart because I can trust you.
Yeah.
Now with this part of me that apparently like I've been holding back and you're like, no, I'm willing. Like we'll do whatever I get. I am here. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, he had a trust issue before this.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad when we first, I have no idea why I stayed with him at that time because he would literally think.
Is Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I would be going to the bathroom and he would follow me because he thought I was going to go do something. I'm like, what do you think I'm going to go do? But he just had a really bad trust issues.
No.
But then after this happened, he started healing in that area.
Oh,
wow,
cool.
That's so good.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's good, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was then that I knew that love, you can't hurt me. I love you that much. It doesn't matter because I'm going to choose to love you no matter what happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to choose to work it out. That's what it came to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me some things, us some things, because you keep talking about the garden, and I love that. And all I heard in my head was, how do you till your garden? How do you guys till your garden as far as your marriage? Because, again, I have not been in your marriage, but I get to be one of these people that gets to sit in, on the sidelines and watch the amazingness of what God has done. Because this is the part where I honor you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are an example in my life. Like, who you have been to who you guys are now, to see the things that you guys have overcome physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like all of it, Like, you've given me two amazing nephews and a beautiful niece, and then all the grandbabies that you guys, you know what I mean? Like, God has so blessed you guys in spite of some of the, right?
That's right.
And yeah. It's like, how have you guys tended to the garden? What are some of the weeds? Tell me some of the things.
For me, I think of Psalms 139. It says, search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me.
Yeah.
And to genuinely do that, you know, and then just sit alone with him and you look inward. Like, I remember one time I said something sharp to Don one day, and the Lord said to me, how dare you say, I've given you, she's your gift. It's something that simple.
Yeah.
But, was it John 15? It says, if you abide in me and my work, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches.
Yeah.
So it's really just abiding in Christ. And if you abide in Christ, he's the one that does the pruning in your life. He cuts those, hey, I shouldn't have said that, or I was offended by something today.
Yeah.
And the Lord just bring those things back into your remembrance. That's really tending your garden, just presenting yourself to him every day. That's how it works for me.
Yeah. And I've just learned to appreciate for him. I don't know if I'm going to answer your question right. For me, I remember this lady said this to me. Sometimes just those little bitty things.
Yeah.
And I know, and I'm not saying be a doormat.
Right.
I'm not saying, because he doesn't treat me like a doormat.
I can testify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this lady told me, she goes, because you could complain about the shoes on the floor or the laundry that lays there, or you could just go pick it up.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Or you can argue for 45 minutes and yell at each other and gain nothing.
Right.
And ever since she told me that, I was like, that's true.
Yeah.
It really isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, you're making small things big.
Yeah.
And like, why didn't you do this? Or why? Because, oh, I know. Okay, so I also heard this one time. Okay, I'm going to make sure if I say this right. What is it like? Love something without anything in return.
Oh.
Okay, I'm saying it wrong, but it's something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I love him and to serve him without expecting anything
that's
in
good.
Return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the right. I remember the words. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, that's good. You're saying it good.
Yeah. And so I do that. And I think that, and people say 50-50. It's 100-100.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And, but see, I think you, women, what are we? We're kind of like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just fumbling over my words.
You're doing great.
Okay.
No, you're doing great.
So, but we're responders. Women are responders.
Yes.
You know, but yes. I think if you're treating him right, they're also the same.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm falling over myself. Am I saying it right?
I think you did good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's making sense.
But I like that.
There's another scripture, James 3:16, I think. It says where there's envy and selfish ambition, there's evil work that's present.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start getting our eyes on ourself, there's a little bit of selfish ambition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one way we can tend our garden. If I'm more concerned about me instead of serving her or loving her as Christ loves the church, there's some selfish ambition.
Right.
And that means God's going to have to pluck something from my life, because where there's selfish ambition, there's every evil work.
Man.
And man, I don't want that in my life. And I can be selfish.
Yeah.
So in order for me to get rid of my selfishness, I got to go to God and say, God, wash me of my selfishness,
right.
You know? And that way it can help me wash her as my wife.
Yeah.
I think there's a story I remember when the kids were little. And of course he would come home about 5 o'clock-ish, you know? And we would always be in the middle of baths and food, dinners and whatever else. Like, it's always chaotic that time of day when you have small kids. And I would be like, can you pick a kid and help me? And he just got off work.
Yeah.
So, and then I think we sat down one day and we're like, and a friend of his was speaking to his life,
mm-hmm.
and his wife was speaking into my life.
Aww.
Two really good people. I wish I knew what happened to them. Like, they moved away, but he tells Bob, this is halftime. So on your way home from work, this is halftime.
Wow.
And then I had to come to respect. Okay, he just needs a little downtime.
Yeah.
So both of us had to come to a respect level.
That's so good.
You know, like, so he, you know, to try and, I mean, and I would say, I'm tired. I've been doing, I don't get a minute from these kids, you know, and I'm like, could you like just take one and wash them, you know, help me here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had to respect. And I think when I approached it more like serving him, tried to have dinner on the table when he got home.
Yeah.
I'm not so good at that now, but
we're empty nesters now.
We're empty nesters, and half the time I don't even know what we want. I have lots of fish in the fridge, and I don't know how to cook it.
And he's out most nights.
So. He works a lot. He does, and so that's what I just try to keep. And then I always think in my mind, I want him to have a soft place to land at the end
that's
of the day.
So good.
Yeah.
So I learned to be that for him, and he, so we came together at that. That was a good.
Yeah, and a lot of times a man can come home and find everything wrong, or she didn't do that one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do 99 things right, and that one thing you didn't do, I can sit there and focus on that one thing.
Yeah.
Or I can say, wow, I came home, look, she washed my clothes, she did the dishes, she whatever that thing might be,
right.
is to really to focus in on that. Don't focus in on that one thing they did wrong, but focus in on the 99 things. And there were some times you might have done 99 things wrong, but I had to focus on the one thing that you did do right.
That's good,
you know, and to focus on that and to build from there in your marriage. And I think that's what that was the bricks that build the house. You should be thankful.
That lady had told me, she's like, try to have a safe, and I did try to do better, like have the kids bathe before he got home, have dinner ready. And I got, and it actually does, when you put your heart off of yourself and onto them, it somehow it makes it better.
Yeah,
it's not about me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is, it's that reminding of, you know, what do we focus on, or can I shift my schedule in a little way? You know, like with bathing kids, it's like, could I do it a little earlier? Could I maybe do it a little later?
Right.
You know, it's that, you know, what can I shift? What can we shift to help make things go smoother?
Right.
You know, and also remembering that this is the season. This is the season, and
it's true. Yeah, and I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah,
like the thinking like that. You think this is my life, forever. These kids are never going to grow up.
Yes,
and now they've grown up, and I'm like, oh,
you miss your babies.
Now I have leaves in my front door. I always think of this one picture, and I had the, you know, when we lived in Texas, we had this long hallway.
Yeah.
It was always full of books and projects, and because my kids never hung up their jackets, they would end up in that hallway. Well, then one day it was just leaves.
Yeah.
And those kids grow up and they leave. And one time,
she's gonna make me cry through this one.
Yeah, and the leaves are when you open the front door, and the leaves are blowing the house. But there's no more. There's
no more
books
no,
there.
There's no more projects. There's no more jackets on the ground. You know, it's just now. It's back. I remember people saying that. You know, make sure you put your marriage first because it comes back to you guys. And I thought that's never going to happen. And here we are.
Yeah.
And so I'm and now I'm glad we've built that. You know, we did the hard way. Well, we just didn't have a lot, you know. And so we were hot messes. But I'm glad. I'm very thankful we were.
It was worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It is. Yeah. Still is.
But I know with you guys, because again, you know, Bobby's my brother. We lived in the same house. He's 7 years older than me, but still. And knowing firsthand that this was not something that was exampled in front of us, right? And understanding that you're having to learn this in, like, you're going to have to learn this the hard way. You got to figure this out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
On top of breaking off just patterns that are not healthy, and learning how to be a man of God and learning how to be a father and all of the things. And so it's like, what would you say to somebody that is coming from a space where they didn't have that example?
I would say surround yourself with other men
who
are willing to speak into your life and be teachable.
Yeah.
And this might sound like a spiritual answer, but it's a truth.
Yeah.
Fall in love with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, and somebody that doesn't know Jesus or know the person of the Holy Spirit, that might sound like a little off the wall.
Right.
But that's really my answer.
Yeah.
Is because all the things I'd done wrong, the Lord would prick my heart. The Holy Spirit say, no, you're not loving your wife as you're supposed to.
Yeah.
You're not.
And I'm not serving my husband.
Yeah,
like I'm
or hey, you're making your kids angry. You shouldn't taunt them to get them angry. You know, right. Just little stuff yeah. like that. Right. And be opening up your heart to people in your life. So, like Luke would come up to me, hey, Bob, man, you shouldn't have said what you said. And then I would love Luke even more for that because he was walking with me through life. So that would.
Don, same question.
Yeah, at the same. Build yourself around people that you trust.
Yeah.
That are going to know that you can share your dirty laundry, and they're not going to judge you for it.
Yes, that's
what you know. And they're, but are going to. But yeah, at the same time, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like be honest with you, or have find those women, godly women that can speak into your life.
Yeah.
And find older women and listen to them. Learn from their. You know, that's like I say that one couple that came into our life. That was a turning point.
I love that.
And that was when we were at Safe and I. Yeah.
I love that.
Find people that will help you sort your laundry.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah. Help you with your dirty laundry. Yeah.
So you don't have to shove it all in at one time and let the water. Yeah. Yeah. Are you better now? Have you taught him how to do laundry?
He doesn't do it.
It's fine.
And it's okay with
And it's fine. It's fine.
It's our dance, and we're good.
Where did that term come from?
A friend of mine told me that one time. She said, every marriage has their own dance, and only they know the steps.
I love that.
I'm like somebody wouldn't put up with the things I put up with Bob. But that's okay. That's our dance.
Yeah.
You know, probably people look at you guys, how could they do that? You know, but that's their dance.
We do get
dance.
That a lot. Yes.
Yeah. But it's your dance. It doesn't matter. You know, but a friend of mine said that one time. I thought that was a really good saying.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that about this one lady one time. I was watching her, and it drove me crazy the things that she would let her husband do to her or like put up with. But I was very young at the time, so I was very judgmental. But I look back, I go, well, it's their dance. I mean, they're still married to this day.
Yeah.
But it's their dance. It's okay.
I mean, as long as it's not causing abuse or harm.
No, it
or
wasn't abusive.
Nature,
it was just something I wouldn't, you know.
I'm just kind of reiterating it for some of our listeners. Like, long as there's not
not abuse.
Any harm, that's good.
Yeah, I know some dances, I don't even know the steps, right?
Right.
But Dawn does. So she'll step up and she'll fill that step for me.
Wow.
And that's our dance. Or there's some things that Don may not know the steps to, but I know the steps to. So I'll go in there and I'll feel those steps for her. It's what works within us, within our marriage.
Yeah.
It's our dance.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And now you guys are setting an example for your children and then your grandchildren, and they're seeing these things. And so tell me, do you have any questions?
Not yet.
Okay.
I mean, I've tried to ask it.
I want you to ask a question.
No, I mean, I've tried to ask in when they come up in the past. Like, I just,
okay.
But yeah, I don't have anything pressing right now.
Okay.
So it's fun to listen to them.
It is fun to listen to them.
Because as much as I've been around for, 14 years.
Yes.
And I met them, it was, that was quite the weekend.
Do you want to tell that story? By all means, tell that story.
The weekend where I felt attacked.
I liked you.
I know you did. I know you did. And I appreciate that, Dawn.
I liked you a lot. I just thought, how's Dina going to afford him?
Because my husband likes to eat.
Yeah, and he likes meat.
Yes.
And I was like, we have to go buy more hamburgers and hot dogs, whatever we were serving.
Yeah. It was the weekend. It was your daughter's.
It was a whole week.
Was it a whole week?
It was a whole week.
That's why you got expensive.
That's why I got expensive.
It was an entire week because we had her birthday, 2 graduations.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And when we were recording, she prayed that I would have a good job so that I could feed myself. And I got a good job so I can feed myself.
That's good.
But it was that weekend, and it was, I think I had met Jan already, your guys' mom, but I had never met the boys. Well, I had met Michael because he was going to church with us at the time, but I had never met Randy and Bob, and I had never met you, and all of a sudden you're like opening your home, and you know, we stayed there, and I'm meeting all these people, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm getting into. I was still kind of a brand new Christian at the time. Christian.
Yeah, because you told me you thought you were going to come and drink beer the whole time.
Yeah, because I was like, well, it's a graduation. We're going to Texas, and this is what I'm used to. And everybody, you know, all of a sudden, like, at the time, Bob didn't like alcohol in the house.
We were in a dry house.
Yeah. I'm getting all sorts of dirty looks. And, oh, yeah.
And the 100 piercings.
The,
and
oh, yeah,
100
all
tattoos.
The piercings and the tattoos and the weird thoughts on life. And, oh, yeah, yeah, it was all sorts of good times.
I have grown to love you, Luke. So
I appreciate that.
That's,
thank you.
And you don't have to give me $20 later for saying that. But you're a genuine man, and that's what I love about you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. I did pretty good. Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. Pretty good. Yeah, he's good people.
Yeah.
But it's that... it's that seeing you guys being consistent. Again, I'm giving honor where honor is due, because it's like I had come out of a really rough marriage, right? And then Luke actually coming out of something very similar. And then me sitting him in front of, again, two of my favorite people.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, so here's the deal. Like, this is what I am looking for. I need somebody that loves me like this guy loves her.
Yeah.
Like that kind of, because he gets doe-eyed over you. It's just so cute.
He does the lip quiver.
His little lip quiver. It's been quivering this whole time. It's just been so sweet.
When he talks about God or his family.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. But then it's like you guys have also, because, again, I'm not trying to be all mushy, but it's you speaking over Michaela, me speaking over Gabri, you going, hi, gorgeous, to Michaela all the time. That's how I learned how to speak to Gabri.
Mm. I'm glad I was there for you.
You know, it's
a
like,
hot mess on this side. I guess I look kind of good.
You know, so it's
and here
like,
it was a mess.
But it's that consistency. You guys were consistent in the things.
Well, I did not want my kids to have a bad I have a low self-esteem. So I did not want my kids to have a low self-esteem.
Yeah. They do not.
Yeah, no, they don't. And I'm glad they don't, because I still do fight that.
Yeah.
That is still one of my battles. And he's always spoken life into me, which I always very much appreciate.
Yeah.
He's like, stop saying that, because I struggle being dyslexic. You know, I struggle with my, I'm stupid, you know, things like that, you know, and he'll go, don't do that. He does. Yeah. He's always encouraged me. Never, ever once put me down.
Yeah. But no, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
What other question do you have?
I think keep rolling. It. Yeah. Kay. I think that's it. No, it's just.
Yeah. What husband would want to put their wife down?
Come on, sir. Talk to that.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Why would they want to do that?
Yep.
That's foolish.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know how to say it, but like putting manure on your spouse.
Come on.
When we're not supposed to do that, we're supposed to wash them with the words that we speak, with the encouragements that we say.
Right.
Who would want to do that?
He doesn't talk bad, but once in a while something will happen. He'll go, was that a big rock? I'll go, that was a big rock.
Tell me what that means.
Like, I can't think of it for sure.
Sometimes I'll get tired and I might say something a little sharp or something
stab,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like I threw a little pebble at her, and to me it was a pebble. And then I'll look at her facial expression, and I'll say, that wasn't a pebble, that was a boulder.
Mm.
So now I got to turn around and say, honey, how big of a rock was that? She'll say, that one hurt.
A big rock.
And I'll have to say, man, would you forgive me? You know?
But then I understand it, but it still hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I know you're tired, I know you're hungry, or whatever it is. And I'll look at him, and he'll try to, please forgive, which.
Yeah.
You know.
That's probably another thing.
But also, no, it's not him.
Yeah. You know, it's humility when you mess up. Say, I messed up, you know.
Yeah.
But,
And the quickness, the recognition and the quickness of, you know, I mean, again, as you're saying it, you can feel it like leaving and you see her face and it's like, oh, I want to take that back, but I can't. It already hit you. So, that instant recognition of, you know, don't wait until after dinner to have this conversation of, I'm sorry I hurt you, but, you know, right in the moment of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
But it's, you know, 36 years is a long time, so we've we've learned a lot, know, on how not to do things. And
that comes with time. A lot of that comes with, like, okay, you're going to still throw rocks here and there.
Sure.
You know, because sometimes something just didn't hit you right or whatever. I mean, they're very far, very rare, far and few between. A lot of our fights, I think we realized, have come with misunderstandings.
Yeah.
You hear me say blue, 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 but I was meaning red or vice versa. What did you hear me say?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think I was meaning? Because, and I was like, well, I thought you were saying this.
Yeah.
But that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, my heart didn't mean for it to come out that way.
I love that.
So, yeah.
And then when my heart did mean it for it to come out that way, I had to be quick to repent.
Yeah.
Vice versa. I mean, we're both, we're in this together.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah.
No, I love that. Tell me nuggets. Tell me one or two nuggets that you guys would want to leave with our listeners.
Keep talking. Don't, even if you're mad, keep talking. Work through it. Listen. Listen to each other.
Yeah.
Someone's saying something. Be, you know, make sure you're hearing them. And have a servant's heart.
Yeah.
Without expecting anything in return. I wish I could think of that exact verse, that little thing, a cliche. I can't think of it. But I'll think of it after this podcast.
You will, yeah. As soon as I hit stop, you're going to be like, oh!
I would probably say the nugget for me would be don't get offended.
Don't get offended
about anything.
Yeah.
I can walk in the house and begin offended. Other kids are screaming. You want to kick the dog. Had a hard day at work. Don't be offended. Just love, because love doesn't take offense to anything. Love gives. Mm. It gives, it gives, it gives, it gives, it gives, and it never takes.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do when you're tired.
Yeah.
Or
it's halftime.
You know, or sick or whatever you're going through in that life, it's hard.
Yeah.
You say, how can I make my home better? Just go with that mentality. So I think that would probably be one of my gold nuggets is, don't be offended.
Yeah.
And love, 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 love.
And when you are tired, you just express it. You have the conversation. I see it again. It's like I watch you guys. Again, I've had the privilege of watching from the sidelines, and I see how very gentle you guys are. I also see how very, this is what we're going to do. You guys can be, you know what I mean? Like being able to say, like, instead of just assuming something of another person, you guys are very gentle and very, I just watch how do I want to say it? It's almost like I watch you guys command a room, but at the same time, when it comes to the two of you, I watch both of you kind of just very gently, like, bow to each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, just
service on purpose.
Service on purpose.
That's a good one. Like a service on purpose.
Yeah. You know, it's I'm going to take care of you. She takes care of you. You walk in. It's not like you're expecting, but it's at the same time knowing that, hey, this isn't getting done. Dawn, are you okay? What can I do for you, sweetheart? I've watched you. You know, it's like if something. So it's like understanding. I've watched you with my brother. Like. Going through the cancer, going through the stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not okay, but like you going, okay, something, you said it, you may not have the steps for it, but she does.
Right.
And you allow her the space to come and step in.
Yeah.
And I think that that's beautiful. That is what has been, whenever the 36, you know, and he's going and doing his ministry and the things. And, you know, you're like, Dina, we were such a train wreck. And I said, but that's what's so beautiful about your story.
Because you
guys, because God made such beauty from ashes. Mm. And watching what he's done in y'all's lives. And it's like, because I believe you guys have allowed each other to grow. You've allowed each other to let go of stuff. You've been humble enough, and it's like I'm repeating everything that you guys have said, but I want to honor you guys and just say, like, you guys are who you are. You are true blue. What you say is what you get. This is who you guys are. And my prayer is that people take and glean from you guys. Like, it's time for you to write a book. It's time for you to write a book about the journey that God has taken you guys through, because you're not an anomaly. Mm-hmm. Like, there's others out there that need to know how to get through, even if it's, you know, like an emotional affair, to get through the anger, the stuff, right? Like, to get through
the trust.
That's yeah. it, right? Like, they, mm-hmm. what does that look like? How did that? And we don't have enough time to have that big conversation, but mm-hmm. it's like, I believe with everything in me that you guys have these jewels, and that's who we need to be as the people of God in the kingdom of God. Because I was telling Don, like, we got literally people divorcing in churches more so now than any people out in the world. Like, it's crazy. The divorce rate is like off the chart. And I believe it's because they're going after the symptoms as opposed to the root. Let's deal with the root. Let's figure this out.
That grass is not greener anywhere else.
It's not greener anywhere. You need to tend to your garden. Man, I love that. Mm-hmm. Like, tend to the garden, you know, figure this out. Don't stop, and then stay consistent, and then do the hard. Mm-hmm. I love that you guys are telling, you know, like, we're up till 2 and we're talking about the hard. Get into the hard. Know that it's only hard for a minute, but it'll start getting easier.
Yeah. And bringing it to the light. Yeah,
you got
don't keep things in the dark.
No,
because as soon as I did, it was like as soon as we started talking about the dark,
yeah,
that I was bringing to the light. It just started blooming.
Yeah,
and we started healing.
And it allowed me to trust again too.
Yeah. See, yeah,
that's awesome.
And that was a two-sided coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what happened with her helped. Like, come on.
Yeah.
How much are we leaving each other bound if we don't deal with the things inside of us? We're literally binding the people around us by our own insecurities, our own faults, our own mm-hmm. failures, our own stuff, as opposed to just, man, let me just get this out, you know? Because once you bring it to the light, like you said, Don, like mm-hmm. it loses its power.
Yes.
It's the stronghold starts. It's like, oh, I've been found out. Shoot. You know, I got, oh, crap. Okay, well, I'm going to scurry off now.
Well, it hurt me that I was like, I didn't want to hurt him.
Sure.
I mean, I remember just like, I didn't want to, because I felt like if it came out, I would hurt him. Matter of fact, I was like going to church and I was like worshiping and I was trying everything. I was trying to fight it myself.
Yeah.
And he was like, something's not right. We were going to CF&I on Friday nights, like worshiping, and I was trying to.
CF&I is Christ for the Nations. It's a Bible school we went to in Dallas.
Yeah. I was trying everything to do it myself.
Right.
And it wasn't working.
Right.
It was just heavy on my heart. I was trying, God help me. I was trying to go through a book that, it was the one that you took with Jason.
Every Man's Battle.
Oh yeah, Every Man's Battle. They have an Every Woman's Battle book.
I love that.
And I was trying to go through that book by myself.
Mm.
And you do. You need people.
Yes.
You need positive people in your life. People that can. Yeah.
Keep and your so feet
I was,
to
but
the
I
fire.
Was trying to do that still all by myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't working. You can't do it by yourself. I was fighting this battle, thinking I can figure this out, but. And he knew something was going on, but he just didn't know what. And this went on for months.
Yeah.
I say about 3 or 4 months, maybe even a year. I don't know. It was a long time.
Yeah.
And then finally, but sure enough, as soon as it came out, it started healing. We got through it.
And it's so worth it.
It is. It's nice when you're on the other side.
Yeah.
It really is. I don't say that to be mushy.
No,
yeah.
It's good. We're in a good place. We're in a really good place.
It's a love that I never experienced before, and it grows more every day, really does.
Yeah,
it's true.
And that's a true statement.
Yeah. Mm. You make his heart pitter-patter.
He makes my heart pitter-patter. I truly do. I love him more and more every day. If you can love another person more and more every day, you can. Mm-hmm. I do. I don't know what happened, but
there's some days I want to put a knot on her head, but most days, some days I'm sure it's vice versa.
Yeah, I don't have that feeling of you at all.
Probably more vice versa sometimes.
There are days.
No, we're good. You guys are away from each other a lot. My big brother has a really cool business that unfortunately gets you on the road a lot. So out of the 20 plus years that you have been doing this business, how do you guys keep this really great mushy love alive.
We flirt a lot.
I love that.
We do. We flirt on the phone.
Yeah.
So we'll call each other and stuff like that. We still flirt.
Yeah.
And when we're together, we make it count.
Yeah.
I love that.
So. Yeah.
We make sure that, yeah, we do.
And she truly is my best friend. I can truly say that.
I always say the worst thing and best thing about us is that we like being around each other because we get nothing done together.
And, you know, one of your listeners right now might be saying, hey, I can't say that about my spouse right now. They're truly not my best friend. In fact, I don't even like them right now.
Yeah, and they're done that.
And that's what we had a journey through. I mean, there's times I didn't like her at all.
Yeah. You know?
But you got to work through it, and you got to choose not to be selfish. You got to choose to serve. You got to choose to keep speaking life over them. And that's the thing that'll make it grow. You got to water the tree.
Yeah.
You can't take an axe to the tree and start hitting it. You got to water it. And you got to water it by God's word. You got to water it by words of affirmation. Just even flirting. Just that's watering the tree also.
And praying together. Even praying together. They say that praying together is even stronger than intimacy.
I agree with that.
You know? I remember at CF and I, they would say, be careful when you're praying with the opposite sex.
I agree with that.
Because that is almost stronger.
Yeah.
And
it's
I love it when we pray together. I really do. It's like, take my hands every morning and pray with me.
Aww.
You know, we try to. We're not always good at that, but we try.
Yeah.
And I mean that, you know, just, and I even put in our, we have a room now. We try and make it our prayer room.
Yeah.
And so, but that's, it's true.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
I like them, yeah.
They're cool.
We should keep them.
We're cool. Did you know we're cool, baby? Thought we were old.
Old and cool.
Old and cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, this was fun.
This was fun.
I'm looking forward to their book.
Yes, their book's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a bestseller.
Yes. They're going to change so many lives.
Listen.
More than they already have.
Sir. All right, guys. Have the best week.
Enjoy the journey.